Please be seated. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. My name is Susan Lee. I'm your duty elder for today. For those of you who are visiting us, please sign the guest book by the entrance and join us for the fellowship downstairs after the service. I have a couple of announcements to make this morning. One being, we are in need of volunteers to provide food and cold beverage services for the fellowship hours for July and August. So if you'd like to volunteer, please sign up the schedule in Douglas Hall downstairs. And the second one will be, there is a presentation on pastoral care on this Wednesday. And please refer to the bulletin for details on that one. And Renata will make an announcement.
Good morning. So ladies, next week is Father's Day, so you know what that means. I'm waiting for you up here after the service. It will be really short, but everyone who is available next Sunday, please, we cannot let the men sing louder than us. So just after the service, up here.
I have one announcement I wanted to make as well. It's I wanted to do that with the monster trucks, you know. Sunday, and the Sunday the 24th is our four church picnic. And I was looking through some old photos that I have. We've been doing this for quite a few years out at Creef Hills, and one photo we have is of the entire sort of grouping the first year we were there, and we've had close to 200 people on average, it seems, coming out to the picnic, but we haven't had very many ticket sales this year from our church. So buy your tickets for Sunday the 24th, because it's lots of fun and it's a great time to be with all four churches here in Burlington and joining together for lunch and games and a fun time together to worship as well. Let's take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship. I light the Christ candle this morning as a symbol of Christ's presence here in our worship, especially this day as we celebrate the sacrament of a baptism. Christ's light is a light for all.
Responsive call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord with your whole heart. God's steadfast love endures forever. So we're going to be singing our first hymn. This is the day, hymn number 78.
Thank you.
Please be seated. At home, I have for those that really know what this means, I have about 10 terabytes of data storage on my computer. And a big chunk of that data storage is photographs that I've taken and with my digital camera or scanned in over the years. And I came across, as I was looking through, as we, you know, pictures get out of control and you don't know what's where sometimes, and I spent a couple hours this week trying to go through them all and see what's what. And a wonderful trip down memory lane, seeing my kids when they were small, seeing me when I was thin and had big hair. But one picture I did come across was one that I took when I was downtown one day on the subway. And it was put out by the Humanist League, and a big poster on the subway. And it said, "You can be good without God." And I took the picture because it struck me that that's a perception that we sometimes take on, and certainly the people outside our church often look at, that it's all about being good. It's all about being good enough. But that's not what the word sin is all about. That's not why we come to God at this point and pray for our prayer of confession. This is the time when we're thinking about the moments when we've strayed from the lifestyle and life that God wants for us. It is God's goodness that makes the difference in our lives, not our own goodness. And it's not even has anything really to do with our how good or not we are, because God's grace is given freely. This is the time when we bow our heads and we thank God for what He has been doing in our lives, and we confess the times when maybe we've been not behaving as well as we should to other people and to God Himself. If we look at the Ten Commandments, the first half deal with our relationship with God, and the second half have to deal with our relationship with one another. Those are the commandments of God, and not obeying those is what the nature of sin is. If God kept track of our sins, we wouldn't stand a chance in so many ways. But with God, there is forgiveness and grace. And so now we bow our heads for a prayer of adoration, confession followed by the Lord's Prayer. Let's bow our heads. Once, dear God, we could hear You walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. We're going to read about that today. You call across now, across the distance, asking, "Where are You?" And we echo back the same question, "Where are You?" You wait and You watch for us. Lord, we wait and watch for You. Help us to see beyond the temporary to the eternal, so that we don't lose heart. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, help us to trust that our frailty is received into Your hospitable house in the heavens. And Lord, renew us day by day, until we come again into Your presence, where the weight of Your glory lifts us in grace and light. And also, merciful God, we do like Adam and Eve did. We try to hide from Your presence, knowing that we've traded Your abundant life for a wasteland of disobedience. We've not followed Your will, but instead we've heeded the others' voices and pursue our own desires at the expense of others. Lord, we can get so misguided that we can't even discern good from evil. We make wrong choices, and we often choose the wrong side. And so we ask for the courage to tell You truthfully what we've done, and we pray for forgiveness so that we can live with ourselves, with others, and with You, because only You alone can restore us. In steadfast love, Lord, look upon us and reclothe us in Your grace. And now we come together and pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Brothers and sisters in Christ, do not lose heart. We are always being renewed day by day through the grace that Christ extends to us. Thanks be to God. Now we're going to get together for the noisy one. Not me this time. And do something very unique in so many ways in the Christian church. Something that is a sacrament and considered a sacrament within the Presbyterian church. And it's a baptism. And I like to hear this voice, by the way. This is great. I've been warned already. There might be even more noise if I try to take and hold said voice. But we'll see what happens. Baptism is a gift from God. And as I begin this, if there's any children here today that are going to participate in our children's time, I'd like you to come up and sit up here at the front before we begin. Because I need you to help me with a part of this baptism. So is there a few of you here? I don't know who we've got. Brendan? There he is. Come on up, buddy. Yeah, come on up, both of you. Come on up. You can sit here because you can help me do something, okay? Have a seat right here. Is this Jackson? Jackson, I got a really special thing for you to do, too. You can sit with your dad for the moment, okay? And we'll just call you up in 1 minute. Baptism is a gift from God. With visible signs and words of promise, God moves towards us to claim us as children of the new covenant and members of a noisy household of God. In baptism, God acts to unite us to Christ, to deliver us from the power of sin and death, and call us into new life of growth and service. In the sacrament of baptism, the church recognizes God's covenant of grace. That's God's contract of mercy. We receive God's gift with reverent joy and respond in faith and obedience. We remember the words of Peter on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, where the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls." Hear the words of the risen Christ. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the close of the age." This is taken from the confessional statement that we have here called the Living Faith. Baptism is a sign and seal of our union with Christ and with His church. Through it, we share in the death and resurrection of Christ and are commissioned to His service. In baptism, water is administered in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The water signifies the washing away of sin, the start of new life in Christ, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that God acts through the sacrament of baptism. It is the statement not of what we do, but what God has done for us in Christ. God's grace and our response to it are not tied to the moment of baptism, but continue and deepen throughout life. It is a sacrament meant for those who profess their faith and for their children. Together, we are the family of God, and we're going to talk about that later this morning. Baptism also is an act of discipleship that requires commitment and looks towards growth in Christ. Those baptized in infancy are called in later years to make a personal profession of Christ. What is born may die, what is grafted may wither. Congregations and those baptized must strive to nurture life in Christ. Baptism assures us that we belong to God, and in life and in death, our greatest comfort is that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to do is something we haven't done exactly this way in the past. Baptism is a communal thing. It's a part of something we all participate in. It's not just about one person today, and one person is in focus today, certainly, and making us known, because we're making all kinds of noise, aren't we? And I'm waving it. Oh, no. I picked on her once too many, maybe. But it involves all of us. And to symbolize that's where you guys and Jackson, you can help. what I'd like you to do, and I'll help you, I want you to come over here. You can come on over first. Come on over. I'll dip this in. There's water in there. It's hard to tell, but there's water. I'll take a little bit in the water and pour it into there. Can you do that? Yeah, that's it. Just pour it in there. If you spill a little bit, don't worry too much. That's it. Very good. Representing the baptism of her. Come on up, Brendan. You can do it too. We're all participating. Take a little bit of water in there and put it in here, okay? There's water in there, see? Can you do that? Want some help? Oops. Good job, buddy. Good. Thank you. You were baptized here too. And Jackson, do you want to try and help too? Come on up here, bud. Come on, you can come up too, sweetie. Here, Jackson. Here, come on. I'll help you. I'll put some water in there, okay, for you. You want to... Here, and I'll put this here. You face me this time. I'll help you there. We'll do it backwards. How's that? Backwards pouring. Wow, that's tricky, buddy. Wow, good job. You want to do that too? You want to pour some in? You can do that too. You can pour some in. There you go. Good job. Very good job. That's the children. And I'm going to ask Burl to come on up because I want someone from our congregation to participate in her water of baptism and add to this. And I know, Burl, you've gone out to get our gift and everything we'll talk about later. But our congregation participates in this baptism. And Burl's pouring water that represent the congregation, all of you. Your baptism, the baptismal waters are a part of this baptism this morning. And I'm going to call on Bob. Bob's the clerk of our session. And as a representative of the session and elders here at our church, I'm going to get Bob to do the same thing. Thank you, Bob. And as your minister, and I was baptized as a baby, and look what happened here. So, well, I don't know. Is that a good thing? But anyway, no, I think it is a good thing. I'll pour some of mine in too. So now we have a communal set of water from all the people that have been baptized. Thank you, Bob. Sorry. Now I want you to listen to this water as it pours, because it's the sound as well of the of that sort of cleansingness that water brings. The River Jordan was where baptisms were done, and the water would have been babbling and making noise. It would have been very, very, not just a physical thing that we can feel, but something we could also hear and see. Okay, Bob, I ask that you bring our family up. And godparents, too. Just stand sort of in the general area here is good. Let's get baby closer to me so it's less distance for me to drop her. Thank you, Bob. I have a bunch of questions that I want to ask all of you, and your response will be, we do. Hi, sweetie. Hi, sweetie. Well, that's, yeah, a little bit of a smile, almost. Shane and Aaron, listen to what God tells us in the book of Deuteronomy. The Lord and the Lord alone is our God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength. And never forget these commands that I am giving you today. Teach them to your children. Repeat them when you are at home and when you are away, when you are resting and when you are working. What you are doing today is very important. In presenting Finley Lou for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want Finley to study Christ, to know him, to love him, and to serve as his chosen disciple. So I would ask that you show your purpose by answering these questions, okay? We did this with you already. You had a turn. Shane and Aaron, bringing Finley for baptism, do you confess your faith in God as your Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit as your Sanctifier? Do you promise through the help and grace given by God and in partnership with the church and this congregation to teach Finley the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer, precept, and example to show her the knowledge and love of Christ and within the fellowship of Christ Church? Godparents, Kendall and Josh. Kendall and Josh, you are here as godparents to Finley, and I'd ask you that you show your purpose by answering these questions as well. Kendall and Josh, in standing with Finley as godparents for baptism, do you confess your faith in God as your Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit as your sanctifier? Kendall and Josh, do you promise as godparents through the help and grace given by God and in partnership with the church and this congregation to teach Finley the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer, precept, and example to bring her up in the knowledge and love of Christ within the fellowship of his church? Congregation, this is your part. And I would, as believers in the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to teach the good news of Jesus Christ to all of our children. In fact, the Old Testament prophet Joel commands us to tell of God's work to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. So I would now ask, congregation, if you're able to please stand. I have a question for all of you. As representatives of the Church of Jesus Christ, with God's help, do you promise to guide and nurture Finley by word and deed, with love and in prayer, encouraging her to follow the way of Christ and to be a faithful member of his church? Thank you very much. You may be seated. Let's pray. We're getting there, kiddo. We're almost done. We're almost done. I know. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gifts of water and for your Spirit. It was in the beginning when your Spirit moved over the waters. You gave order and life to the earth. Through the waters of the flood, you established with Noah and his family a new beginning for all people. In the water of Jordan, Jesus was baptized by your Holy Spirit. He offered living water to the woman of Samaria, washed the disciples' feet, and sent them out to all nations to baptize by water and the Spirit. Now with your people of all times and places, we eagerly wait as we look for the city of God, and from it will flow the water of life for the healing of nations. Gracious God, by the gift of water and the Holy Spirit, you sustain all life. By the power of your Holy Spirit, and through the sign of water, you cleanse from sin us from sin through the death of Christ, those who receive this sacrament. You raise them to new life through his resurrection, and you graft them into his body, the church. Pour your Spirit out on Finley, that she may have the power to do your will and to continue forever as a servant of Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. By what name shall we name this child? Finley? Finley Lou. That's good. She's throwing stuff at me now, too. Nice. All right. Let's see if we can do this. You going to come and see me for a minute? You going to come and see me just for a minute? Oh, I know, sweetie pie. Oh, yes, I know. I'm going to baptize you. Oh, dear. Mommy's right there. I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear. Okay, sweetie. Oh, sweetie, there you go. Mommy's right there. Oh, I was warned. The big, scary man with a big beard. Oh, I know. Well, you're better now. Noel, I know. Okay. She did very well. You did very well, sweetie. I know. Let's bow our heads one more time, folks. Jesus, uphold Finley Lou by your Holy Spirit. Let your gifts of grace increase in her daily, along with the spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever. Amen. What a marvelous love the Father has extended to all of us. Just look at it. We're all called children of God, just like this. That's who we really are. And Finley, you have been received by the call of Christ into His church. Through baptism, God has made you a member of our family here. Yes, I know. Scary bunch of people. Oh, I know. Remember your baptism and give thanks and be one with His church. Normally, I would carry Finley around so you can see, but I let Mom do that. And as we do, we're going to join together and sing the Aaronic Blessing, which is number 619. You can remain seated while we do it. You folks can sit down too. Mom and I will walk around and show Finley to the congregation. 619. Yeah, let's go. We're friends now. She's holding my hand and everything. She even looked at me and didn't cry that time. Yes, you did. You didn't cry that time. What a sweetie pie. You can like? No, yeah, my best friend. I can't get her to let go now. Yeah. I'm gonna do that though. I'm gonna let go for a minute. We have, as always, a gift for Finley. And there's a card with certificate of baptism and a card from the congregation. There's a children's Bible here for her and a candle. And the candle's here to light on the first anniversary of your baptism. And that's something so we can remember that. Yeah, that's something exciting. You got one of these too when you were here. Yeah, and now your sister has one. I'll give that to Dad. You're very welcome. God bless you. God bless you. Let's just bow our heads one last time. Lord, as we've sung the Aaronic Blessing, we do ask your blessings on Finley and her family and on the congregation as we participate in prayer and in act and in word to bring Christ into this new life. Bless her, Lord. Keep her and be with her now and always. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. All right, now, since you guys are at the front, I have something I want to talk to you about. But I have to go get the box, okay? We're doing our children's time a little differently. We're going to sing the children's hymn after I talk to the children for a moment. In the box today, I have a number of pictures I wanted you to look at. Some of these you might know, and some you might not. What does that say? Can you read that? Those two words there? House League, that's right. This is talking about a hockey house league here in Burlington that took place in January. And we want to remember the idea about house league. Here's another house league team. This is the Burlington Soccer Club house league group. They meet, there's the HL for that. Did you guys ever, you two in particular, did you ever read any or see any of the Harry Potter movies? Saw a couple. Well, there was something, they had house leagues in there too, and there's a logo for all their house leagues there that I printed up. And in their house leagues, there was the different houses. There was Gryffindor, some of you might remember that, some of the people out there might remember that. There was Hufflepuff, that's their logo. Ravenclaw, there's a bird on that one, Ravenclaw. And then there was Slytherin, which I think was sort of the bad guys in the group or something. That's right, yeah. Well, in the Bible, Jesus says these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" And I got looking at that, thinking, what does that mean precisely? Well, I got another translation to read. And this other translation, it says, you trust God, don't you? Trust me. There's plenty of room for you in my Father's house. And it's kind of like a house league. It's kind of like a house, really, more specifically, or a home. And in a house, how many bedrooms do you have in your house?
Five.
Five rooms in your house. How about you?
Bedrooms or just
bedrooms? Rooms. Bedrooms. Let's go with bedrooms. How many bedrooms? Three. Yeah, three seems to be a good number. There's about three bedrooms. Well, that word that God gives us, Jesus tells us, he's going to prepare a room for each one of us. Now, often grown-ups, when we read that scripture, we think of we're all going to get our own home. But in reality, the way it reads is we're all going to live in the same big house. I don't know. That could be crowded, but it's going to be very good. One thing I learned when I went down to visit some people in Cuba, they told me that it's very different. They don't understand why everybody wants to move away. Because in Cuba, they all want to stay together. They all want to live in the same house. They're all quite happy to do that. And they have sometimes things don't go so well. Sometimes you get kind of grumpy with your brother or your sister, but you don't move away, you stay there. And that's what they look forward to, that family's important. And I think the message that Jesus has for us, especially through the baptism that we've had today, is that we're all part of the house of God, and we all live in the house of God. And one day, ultimately, we are all going to live in the house of God. So I have a card for you to take with you today, and it says, "You are in the house of God." And just like those logos you saw, I got a logo put together with the scripture verse, John 14, that talks about God's house. And there you go. You can have that, and you can have that. I have one for you, too. There you go. And one for you, too, Jackson. There you go. We're all part of the same team. See, you all got the same logo on your shirt, if you like. Let's have a little prayer together, boys and girls. Come on. Stay where you're sitting. That's okay. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you that we're all part of the same family. We're part of your family, and we're all part of your house. Bless these children, Lord, and all the children that are here, no matter what age we may be. We are part of your family. We are all part of your house and your home. Bless the children now, Lord, as they go off to Sunday school, and be with them and help them to grow and learn of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll sing our children's hymn. I don't have the number 300, and we'll remain seated as we do. Thank you. As we prepare to hear God's word read this morning, I'd just ask us to take a moment to invite the Spirit to guide us and lead us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We are waiting, O God, to hear your word, for in your word is our hope. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we hear your voice and be attentive to what you will say to us today. In the name of Christ, we ask this and all things. Amen. Our responsive psalm this morning is taken from Psalm 130, and Psalm 130 is the 11th among 15 psalms that run from 120 to 134 that are introduced as a song of ascents. And what that generally means is that these were sung between the two temples that one time existed in the north and in the south. They were pilgrimage psalms. And as they walked from the one temple to the next, they would sing these in great processions with lots of sound and trumpets and drums and singing. And it was an opportunity to sing to God about what God can do and how great God is, and listening to his people cry, to listen to his people call out. Let's read responsively Psalm 130.
Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in the Lord's word I hope. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord is greater power, great power to redeem.
Thank you, Susan. Our Old Testament reading is one we know fairly well. It's taken from Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. And this narrative is one I've referenced quite often in the Joni Mitchell song that talks about we've got to get back to the garden. This is the time when Adam and Eve were walking with God, but because they disobeyed God, because they didn't pay attention to what God had asked them to do, one simple thing, it changed the course of history and began a plan that God himself only truly understands. Let's read from Genesis 3, beginning at verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard a sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals, and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Our New Testament reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, page 181. This is Paul continuing his defense of his ministry to this congregation. He's defending by saying, he's talking about speaking and proclaiming the truth as he understands it, and the truth that they originally heard from him, and that they need to stick to that and stop listening to so many other voices. It's a message that's very important for us even today. It's hard to pick that single voice and stick with it. There's so many things tugging at us this day. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 13. "But just as we have the same spirit of faith, that is, in accordance with the Scripture, 'I believed and so I spoke,' we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away and our inner nature is being renewed day by day, For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, beginning at verse 20. And this is a story of really about homes, houses, and families. And it's done through this particular interesting account that takes place. But Jesus has a lot of comment about what's actually taking place here. So again, it takes some understanding to look beyond just the physical and look at the underneath, what's underlying in this. Mark 3, beginning of verse 20. Then he went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for the people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." But the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called to them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called to him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother." This is the word of God. We'll join together now in our next hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go," number 209. Please be seated. If you have learned how to disagree without being disagreeable, then you discovered the secret of getting along, whether it be in business, family relations, or in life itself. Getting along well with other people is still the world's most needed skill. With it, there is no limit to what a person can do. We need people. We need the cooperation of others. There is very little we can do alone. And lastly, I have a quote from Leonardo da Vinci. A deaf and dumb person who sees two men in a conversation may nevertheless understand from the attitudes and gestures of the speakers how well their discussion is getting along. It's important for us, especially in light of this baptism today and talking about the house of God and being the family of God, that we understand that getting along is a big part of all of that here in this life. We're going to be living potentially, as I said, in the same house, each with our own room. And I like that analogy. Whether physically that's really going to be the situation or not, I like the analogy. We're not all going to be living in separate little places, living our own little lives. A sociology course I took at York University, the professor of that course said he felt, tongue-in-cheek remark, that the demise of Western culture came about when we got rid of front porches. All of us are old enough, many of us, I guess, old enough to remember, even I remember, sitting on the front porch watching things go on. A friend of mine who lived in Scotland told me they used to have a truck that drove around. In Britain, you had to pay a license to have a TV and a radio. And those of you from Britain know that. And there would be a truck that would drive around, and they used to call it a porcupine because it had antennas all sticking out of it, checking to see who had a TV on it and checking to see if they paid their license. And because everybody had a front porch, the kids would be playing in the street, and they'd say, the porcupine's coming, and everybody down the road would turn all their units off. So when the truck went by, nobody had a TV or a radio, apparently. And as the truck went by, the porcupine's gone, and everything would come back on again. I can remember playing in the street, and word would go down from porch to porch that it was time to come home for lunch or dinner. And I think he had a point when he said the demise of Western culture. We've stopped communicating. The houses that we tend to build and the new developments that tend to go up, what's the first thing they do? They put a 6 or 7 foot high wooden fence around so we can privatize my yard. And the houses are built almost to zero lot lines because who goes outside? You just stay in your house, and there's a rec room downstairs, and there's an entertainment room here, and you don't go outside. We don't know who many of our neighbors are. So getting along with other people is simply not creating any trouble, generally. Being a good neighbor is the person that just doesn't go out and make noise and run their lawnmower at odd hours or whatever it may be. But the lack of communication means good communication in many neighborhoods today. And like I said, when I was in Cuba, it was very, very different. We stayed with people who were in the city, and we stayed with some people who lived in the country. We weren't at a resort. We were touring sort of the real people, so to speak. And we heard time and time again this idea of family and of living in close quarters. And yes, it has its challenges because it's hard sometimes to get along in close quarters. But they long for that because they understand the strength that is in family and in getting along and living in one household, so to speak. As we talk about this a little bit further, let's bow our heads in prayer. Spirit of God, help us this morning, again, to put aside the distractions that we may have brought along with us, things that may be pulling us in different ways. Help us to hear your voice today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. There's lots of references in the different scriptures that I've read today about dwelling places, even the section in Genesis. Adam and Eve dwelt in the garden and they walked with God and God walked with them. It was a household, so to speak, and everybody got along until they didn't. We know that the church in Corinth did very well in its early days based on comments that Paul makes in the 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Everybody got along very well until they didn't. And Jesus himself says in the Gospel of Mark, If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. The thing that unites a house, and if I think in terms of house league, the thing that unites a team together is working and getting along together. When we try to divide ourselves and one of us tries to, on a team situation, to be better than everybody else, that's not a team, that's an individual, and they will lose in their sport or activity or whatever it may be. What indicates that we are working together? Well, Jesus gives us this in the Gospel of John, and this is what, kind of what I read to the children this morning. And I want to read for you from the Message translation, the end of chapter 13, the beginning of chapter 14. It's only a few verses. This is what it is to be in the house of God, in the household of God, and to be a part of that agreeable segment. Let me give you a new commandment. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. Simon Peter asked, Master, where are you going? Jesus answered, you can't now follow me where I'm going. You will follow me later. Don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. There's plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get a room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. And you already know the road I'm taking. And he was talking in riddles at this point to the disciples because they didn't have any idea. We know the end of that story, that the cross event is about to take place and the resurrection of Jesus is about to take place. But at this point, the disciples aren't aware of that. So there's reading, if you read further on in that segment, they're questioning him. What do you mean you're going somewhere? Where aren't you going to be with us for all time? But Jesus is telling us clearly, here's how you prove that you're of my house. And it's a new commandment, but it's also a part of an old commandment. Love one another. Love one another in the same way I loved you. Those are simple words, but if we try to really think about that, that's hard. We have a little baby today, and mom and dad love baby very, very much. But there's some days, I'm sure, as Jackson's getting a bit older too, it's a little difficult to maybe get along and love. But you do anyway. And that's how you prove that you're good parents. And that's how your children know that you're trustworthy mom and dads and trustworthy parents, because you continue to love them no matter what. That's what God wants from us, all of us, to get along as God gets along with us, to always be forgiving, to always be loving, to always be there, to be there for one another even when sometimes it's hard. There's a song that was written in 1975 by Jimmy and Carol Owens. I want to read the words from that in closing. And it's called We Are Heirs of the Father. And it's, we are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. We are washed. We are sanctified. We are cleansed by His blood. We are born of His Spirit. We are children of the Lord. We are members of His body. We are objects of His love. We are partakers of His holiness. And we're citizens of heaven above. We're partakers of His suffering. We're partakers of His grace. We shall meet Him to be like Him. We shall see Him face to face. We are longing for His coming. We are looking to the skies. We are watching. We are waiting. We shall dwell with Him. We shall rise. We shall reign with Him forever. Men and angels shout and sing, for dominion has been given to the family of the King. We are heirs of the Father. We are family. We are one. Amen. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Gracious God, we thank You for this, that we are family, that You call us to get along, that we are in Your house, Lord. Not just right at this very moment, but we are the household of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we work towards getting along and raising one another and supporting one another, supporting a new baby that's in our midst through prayer and through conversation and anything that we can do to help. We thank you, Lord, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Who are Christ's brothers and sisters? Those who do the will of God. Loving God, loving neighbor, we share as we have, members of the household of God. Let us now present our offerings to God. Before I pray this morning, I want to say something, and I think it's important. Every week we have an offering that's brought forth, and you're very faithful in doing that. This money that's brought forward is not just to keep a roof over our heads. It's to keep programs going in our midst and the work of God happening here. You know, we have one particular group that uses our building here that's for abused women that have an opportunity to come and have one-on-one counseling. We have another group that's here that are Narcotics Anonymous, people who are addicted to drugs of various kinds and come here for support and work. We have Sunday school with our children. We're teaching our children. This money is used to the glory and work of God. And I do, on behalf of the congregation and really of God, thank you all for this faithful act. Let's bow our heads. Lord, it's hard sometimes when we're at church and it seems like, money gets involved, but money's needed, Lord. You bless us with money and various things, and we take a small portion of that you've given us, and we put it back to work in our community, Lord. It's active work, real relational stuff, Lord, that you call us to do. What makes the difference is how we love others. And by providing this place for people to meet, to talk, providing opportunities for lessons to be learned, preaching to be done, speaking and loving to happen, this, Lord, is truly your work. So for the various groups that meet here, and this, there's people here every day, it seems, Lord, through the week, we thank you that this can be blessed and used to that end, that you were blessing these people, and through the faithful act of folks here in this congregation, it continues. Bless the givings here, Lord, and bless the people who have given. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The final part of our service here on Sundays, just before we go forth, is a time to pray for others. And I know I've said this already too many times, but I am so touched on Sunday mornings when we have an opportunity for you to say names. I know I've been to other congregations where we've tried doing this and there's dead silence, and sometimes that's fine. But often on a Sunday morning, many, many names are being said out loud, and they're being offered up in faith. Everybody in this room has a friend, a family member, an acquaintance, somebody you work with, who needs help. And prayer is our first line, always. And so if you have that moving in your heart today, a person's name, when we have our moment of quiet, say it out loud. And don't worry if you stumble on top of other people. God's hearing all this. It's important. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you that you call us to prayer every Sunday, to pray for other people. We thank you that we remember others from our congregation by acts of having flowers, like today's flowers with from Bob, Helena, and Dorothy, in memory of Gord and Nestor. We thank you, Lord, that we come to you weekly to place these names out loud and quietly in our hearts into your hands. And so, Lord, we take that time now, and we offer these names faithfully to you and say them out loud. Lord, behind every single name that's been said out loud and many more that have been said silently, and there's an entire book long story of what's going on in that person's life. It's volumes, maybe, in some cases. And it not only involves that one person, but it involves their friends, their families, their acquaintances. We're not alone. We truly are a family connected together. And that's saying that no one is an island unto themselves. We are relational beings in our makeup. And because of that, Lord, what happens to one affects many others. It's like ripples in the water. Bless the names that have been offered this day, Lord. And we trust them into your hands with confidence because you call us to prayer. You call us to this mysterious thing called prayer, to hold these names to you, to tug on your ear, for you to listen and to act. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who gives us grace and love. Amen. Join together now in our final hymn, number 691, My Shepherd is the King of Love. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. We are members of His body. We are objects of His love. We are partakers of His holiness. We are citizens of heaven above. Go this week and love as Christ tells us to, and Christ has loved us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you His peace in your going out and your coming in, in your lying down and your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.